Hey, you're listening to The Weekly Bakey, hosted by Toby, Jasmine, and Sophie.
Hello, and welcome to another episode of The Weekly Bakey. This is Toby.
This is Jasmine.
And this is Sophie.
And happy April, happy spring. I think we're coming off of 1 week of the eclipse, so we're on a whole new side of life, I guess. Sophie, what's been up with you this month so far?
Oh, I forgot about the eclipse. Honestly, guys, I thought it was the end times. Like, I was honestly scared. People were like, don't go outside. Like, and then, like, the grocery stores kind of were looking bare. It could have been my delusion speaking to me. But I was like, okay, so we're stocking up. Like, somebody knows something that I don't. And it's usually Floridians. Like, they always know something. Yeah, other than that, just... You already know the deal. I mean, it's been 3 years of this bullshit. But we're on the final stretch. I have about, 2 weeks until I'm done with school and finals and all that kind of good stuff. So give me the prayers and the thoughts and the comments and the concerns. I'm going to need them.
You got it, babe. I cannot believe that we've gotten to document your entire journey at law school here on the podcast, and now we are right at the point where you're about to graduate. That is so crazy and really special for us to have, and so proud of you. You got it. Like, y'all, right after this, she's going straight to bed and getting rest. It's about to be 10 p.m. in Florida, so yay, Sophie.
Yay, party girls on three.
Yeah, I agree. That 3 years, I mean, it flew by on our side. I'm not sure about that way on your side, but echoing what Jasmine says, super proud of you and excited for this chapter to just be over.
Yes. I think I'm excited to focus on one thing, which would be the bar. It's kind of, yes. You know, having to juggle a whole bunch of stuff. Is this what being an adult is like? Is this what you guys
yes.
do? Like, I'm sorry. It's tough.
I know, it never ends. Adult, that's like adulthood. It just always something one after the other. But yay, congrats. Wow. April has been, it's only mid-April right now. And I feel like it's been a pretty chill month. But then I look back and Toby, thank you for the reminder that it was the eclipse. Nothing too crazy that stands out to me. I did make a personal goal to try to be more like personable and outgoing, and it was funny. And like not outgoing per se, but I made a personal goal to like have like a friendlier rapport. I don't know if anyone else in LA feels like this, but there very much is like a thing where strangers don't acknowledge each other. But it's funny, I made this goal because I was feeling like the spring renewal inspiration, and then the eclipse happened and my neighbors and I were the only ones that had glasses that could see the eclipse. Given you couldn't see like the thing happening in our neighborhood in LA, but if you had the glasses on, you were able to see the outline of the moon to like the sun. And we met a lot of neighbors, and we were like the fun ones that everyone like came up to and introduced ourselves. So I felt like that was a way for me to conquer that goal. Another fun thing that happened in April so far is today is actually a very special like beginning of a launch that I've been working on for my job. I work at a social media marketing agency, and one of our clients is San Pellegrino, and we are launching their ISD Zero beverage. So it's basically San Pellegrino seltzer water with 0 grams added sugar. And today was the first day of the launch of the campaign, and we have content rolling out specifically right now on TikTok. You guys are probably seeing a paid ad being served to you of two beautiful humans meeting together at a crosswalk dancing. If you haven't seen it yet, stay on the lookout for it. It's very special, very exciting for me. It's like my big first launch in my career and one that I got to directly be a part of. So if you do see the ad on TikTok, please engage and like it, comment, share it with whoever. Purchase the beverages. They're actually really delicious. The orange, the blood orange flavor is my favorite. So that's me in April. Toby, what about you?
Well, first off, congratulations. That's
Thank
super
you.
Major and exciting.
Thank you.
Yeah, really excited for the road you have ahead. On my side, some big changes too. The girlies know it here, but I'm moving to New York at the end of the month. Which I'm very excited about. Major turn of events, because my whole life I vowed I would never live there. And here I am moving there. But I'm really excited. I'm going to be leading the fashion and brand collaborations for a very beloved American brand. So I'm kind of excited to see where that goes. I'm excited to continue my career in fashion. I was actually asking my brother a couple months ago, I'm like, damn, like, was this like intentional? Because I'm like, I mean, I've always liked fashion. He was like, Toby, you're the same girl who like literally had like piles and piles of like Teen Vogue, like in a room, like ripping out the pages and like trying to like draw designs, and I've always been like super into all of this. And yeah, so I guess it does make sense in the grand scheme of things. But yeah, I'm really excited for this new start. Have a great community over there, and excited to also expand on that and build a new one too. So
yay, congrats. I've been so excited for you to finally share on the podcast and tell everyone. I'm sad you're leaving LA, but I'm happy that you'll be on the East Coast with Sophie. You know, we'll have two. We're still bi-coastal, and we've done the long distance. And you know what? Like, more and bigger things, as always. So I'm really excited for you, Tobes.
Amen. Let's get it.
I
feel like April has been a little bit. I mean, it's April 16th today, but so far it seems like April has been a month of the wives showing up for themselves. And for their career and making intentional decisions and choices to set us in a great trajectory. So shout out to us. Big snaps for that.
Yes, ma'am. I know we are, spring is springing. We're blossoming with it. Moving on to what's been popping in pop culture. Toby, this is a really exciting announcement that I think you got to take, because you were the one that actually told me.
Yeah, for sure. So, Sophie, I'm not also sure if you've seen, but you know Perry from Little Mix / Zane's ex. So basically, like, maybe, I think it might have been close to 2 months ago, all of a sudden this teaser started popping up on TikTok for this, like, insanely 2012 sounding, like, chorus and a hook that was just so catchy. And everyone was like, oh, this is Perry. And then Caleb, our beloved Caleb, posted a TikTok that went semi-viral about the song, and him and I are commenting on it, having this whole exchange, and then all these people start commenting with us, and I was like, yo, like, this might be one of the craziest, like, solo launches ever. It's just so unexpected, because Little Mix was, like, very, like, British girl pop, like, through and through, like, their sound, I think, was, like, super English and super pop, and then this just feels very, like, Katy Perry-esque, is the first word that comes to mind, but through like a 2024 lens. Like, oh my God, you guys, like, it is such a good song. And then basically, so we've been waiting, like, refreshing every week, like, yo, when she's gonna drop this. I was checking Spotify, literally, like, going to her page. By the way, she's dropped Edward. She's just Perry now. Waiting. No one knew when it was gonna drop. Finally, it dropped last Friday. The solo is called Forget About Us, and it's her very first solo single. Oh my God, guys, like, it is, it's just so catchy, it's so carefree, it's just, it's like Katy Perry, Carly Rae Jepsen type freeing, like, girl pop, like, yes, like, you will love it, like, and it has a nice build too, like, yeah, it's really good. I'm really excited for it. I personally I find this very unexpected, but I'm here for it.
I'm so excited. The song is cute, you guys, because I've been, this month, I've been in my pop girly era. I had to add this to my rotation. My thing is I feel like Perry was always our favorite out of Little Mix, given, yes, that we did have a bias because she was in a relationship with Zane, but I feel like she always had, like, the solo.
I like the really good one, too.
What's her name? Exactly.
I think Leanne. No, I mean, obviously we know Perry, but then, yeah, like, yeah. I'm pretty sure her name is Leanne, but I think I liked her too. Yeah. But go on.
Yeah. But I feel like Perry was the one that I always noticed that she had, like, the solo star factor. So I'm really excited that she's finally launched a solo project, and the song is cute, you guys. Like, it's one of the pop songs of the summer. It will be on everyone's summer's playlist, mm-hmm. like 110%. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. What is her name, Toby? Are you looking?
No, I was right. It was Leanne. You were trying to gaslight me.
No, I didn't remember. I wanted confirmation. No, you could have told me any name and I would have believed you.
I was trying to think. I was like, Little Mix, there's seven of them. Like, I have no idea. Like, truly, I only remember Perry. But, I mean, that's just typical Sophie fashion.
No, I mean, she was. Like, they were, like, engrossed in the One Direction era. Like, it made sense. Like, Perry was the girl. Like,
of course.
Yeah, bro. Oh, my God. But, yeah, definitely give it a listen. Sharp pivot, bravo. Has anybody been watching? I know, Sophie, you've been in study mode, but Jasmine, have you been keeping up with anything on Bravo outside of VPR?
No, not outside of VPR. I need to get onto the Valley, especially now that it has been confirmed that Brittany and Jax are separated, and she did have her podcast interview about it. It was
Not Skinny, Not Fat.
Not Skinny, Not Fat. I knew it was a Dear Media. So I just, but yeah. So I do need to hop on that and see. Because I'm curious to see how the show will go. Do you have, like, what are your thoughts on The Valley right now, Toby? And do you have any predictions?
The show is amazing. The show is amazing. Like, I cannot say that enough. And, like, the bar was so, so, so low. Sorry to say, but like Jax was right years ago when he was like, yo, make this show, it's gonna be fire. Jax Taylor is right about very few things. He was right about this. Like, the show was popping. Like, honestly, I think we're gonna see them starting to kind of crumble a bit, but apparently they picked up cameras in true Summer House and Vanderpump Rules fashion to cover the aspects of them separating, since that happened after they already shut cameras down for the season. So we will see it play out towards the end of the season.
Mm-hmm.
There's another couple on there who, oh my gosh, their names are Jesse and Michelle, and when you watch, it's just like, there are men that are worse than Jax. That's just all I'm gonna say.
Oh Lord Jesus. Whoa.
Yeah, or at least behave worse than him. And what's going on with that couple? It's just like really sad to watch. You haven't really seen anything like that on Bravo. They're confirmed to be divorced as of now. Yeah.
Damn.
One of the former Miss USAs is on it, Nia. Super sweet, her and her husband. Yeah, I mean, let's see. But I definitely say give The Valley a watch. It's one of the strongest, like, first seasons of a show I've seen personally when it comes to reality. Of course, it does help they have three characters that everyone already knows, but yeah. Have you guys heard of Vanderpump Villa on Hulu?
I have heard of it. I have not started yet. I did hear that there is an engagement in episode one that makes people cry. So.
Well, I didn't cry. But I guess I'm not the biggest softie, so I guess that makes sense. But it was really sweet. I will say that the engagement is really sweet. But you guys, like, are familiar with Below Deck,
mm-hmm.
right? Even if you don't watch
yeah.
it. Basically, the best way to describe it is that it's Below Deck but on land with Lisa Vanderpump.
Gotcha. I was curious to know how that would, like, separate itself from VPR, since VPR is very much like about her sir, you know, about her sir employees when they were at sir from season one. But that's funny. I like that reference, Below Deck but on land.
Yeah. And it's honestly, like, it's very different than VPR, completely different. Like, they're in this, like, house, like, in France, I mean, a chateau, sorry. And then basically different guests come every week and they have the same staff there, but she, like, pulled people from, like, all these different, like, bars and restaurants across the US, like, a lot from Vegas too. They're all, like, in their late 20s, mid 30s. So yeah, I mean, it's good. I prefer The Valley still and VPR, but I still think it's a good show to watch.
Yeah. I know. I gotta give a chance to anything that Lisa Vanderpump is on. So VPR Villa is definitely on my next list. And Soph, I hope you will get some time to watch too.
I was just about to say, I think I did watch it's probably so long. I think it was the Beverly Hills reunion. Beverly, the Housewives.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Kyle in the green dress.
Kyle in the green dress. And not Dory. What's the other? Sutton passing out. Lord Jesus.
She was just panicking because she was about to get called out.
Oh, she was about to get her shit riggedy rocked. I said, seeing a woman of that age and that candor act that way is outrageous.
I know.
That is, but then like, it's just like, sit there and take it. Like, pass out on a different time. Go to bed and cry, like, on your pillow like a winner.
Yeah.
Like, we're just not doing it. But yeah, that's the only, I guess, reality. That's like literally the only TV show that I've watched outside of, like, I've seen it. I watched The Masters over the weekend, but who fucking cares about that? It's just pretty to watch. It's just pretty to watch, and it's like soothing. But yeah, I watched it, and it was like, I hate how they kind of like low-key ended with Kyle and Mauricio. Like, that is just so, like, it is gut-wrenching. It is sick and twisted. Like, they are, like, they've just been the couple forever. And so, watching their relationship fall apart and watching Mauricio act like a man is really frustrating.
Yeah, it's disappointing for sure. Because I don't know if you guys watch Buying Beverly Hills, but Netflix was able to get the conversation. Yeah, Netflix was able to get the conversation of Kyle and Mauricio telling the girls about what was happening. And that was really hard to watch. So I feel you. So, but I'm happy to know that you're watching reality TV when you can.
It's crazy. I mean, it's two episodes, right? I'm also like an Erica Jane stan. Like,
I also love Erica.
Yes.
And I'm going to be really pissed when all of this comes out that this is all a facade. You know what I mean? Like, I've just loved how real she's been. I mean, the woman is literally stone, right? Like, she's just been so consistent throughout all of her time, like, on reality TV. I feel like she really hasn't changed that much from before and now. I'm going to be so pissed when I figure out all of this is bullshit. Like, I want her to be, like, real. So I want her to be like this all the time.
I think she might... I think she might be. I can't really speak to it because this was my first season actually watching Beverly Hills. And I was like, oh, I know that Erica's in like a whole lot of legal shit. So I don't know if I'm allowed to say this, but I was like, Erica's kind of a baddie. Like, I love her.
No, that's the thing. Like, she's like low-key been like that the whole entire time. It's just like now she has real life problems. Like, she's been very cutthroat, very straight to the point. Like, she's very self-aware and self-sure. I mean, like, it's just been great. Like, she's had a lot, and then now she doesn't have a lot. And then, like, does it face her? Yeah, but she's real about it. So I feel like her character and her personality has been the same throughout all of her time on TV. So I really fuck with her. But I know a lot of people don't like her.
Agreed. I know. Yeah. I'm glad we stan Erica Jane in this house, all three of us, because I feel the same sentiment. She is someone that I feel like has always stayed authentic and true to herself. And I loved that at the reunion, she's the only one that didn't really back down to Kathy Hilton. She faces that woman no fear. When Sutton was passing out on the side there, her and Kathy are just small talk, chatting away. Like, she is never backs down. And like, whatever that TikTok sound is, that is Erica Jane.
I will say, I like Erica Jane, everything that she's presenting on TV, minus all of the...
Yeah, the legal stuff.
Because I think, like, what happened to the victims is really sad, and obviously, like, that's not called for. So I'm hoping and praying that she really just had no idea. Like,
same. Same. I want to believe her that she had nothing to do with it.
Yeah.
Oh, our attorney. Right.
The lawyer's point of view. Not the attorney has.
Uh-oh.
Who knows? I mean, she got, like, basically exonerated. Like, I'm pretty sure that she got cleared of all her shit, so.
Yeah.
That's a lot. That's what they decided.
True. Before we move on to other music, Toby, any other reality TV you want to touch on?
I still have to hit home. I know I brought up Summer House at the end of last month. Still stand by this. This is the best season so far. Well, in a while. I won't say so far, but in a while. I cannot recommend watching it enough. Also, Martha's Vineyard started in April, which is Summer House, but make it all black. And this season is more enjoyable than the first one. I think the cast is hilarious, very charismatic. And it's nice because you already kind of know some of the characters from the first season and then also from Winter House. And then Below Deck, like, OG franchise is on right now. It is also incredible. The characters, Frasier, Barbie, like, Ben, all of them are just, yeah. It's just such a must watch. It's so good.
Love it. Oh, God, Bravo always serving us. And even I can't keep up. But if Toby can keep up, then I can keep up. So I got to make this a priority.
Beverly Hills. by buying Beverly Hills season 2 on Netflix too.
Oh, so good. Yeah, I'm loving seeing Sophia and like do her internship and like seeing her personality come out and the way that she's interacting with her sister. And again, we got to have the conversation between the family about what's going on. It's just, for me, I don't know about you guys, but for me, seeing Portia full grown like tugs at my heart, because we all remember baby Portia as like, you know, literally a baby as the youngest, and now seeing her like full grown as a teenager is so crazy. Like, but yeah, buying Beverly Hills is just, there's a lot going on and trying to keep up with them.
You know what? On that note, I was shocked to find out today that my broker from my apartment in New York is from the agency. The way I screamed when I looked at my email, I was like, Mauricio!
Yes!
Moving on to the rap beef. So Drake versus everyone.
I'm going to be real. I don't really know what's going on except for the music. I don't know. I was there. I mentioned it last month about We Don't Trust You being dropped by Metro Boomin and Future. I know that a We Still Don't Trust You has been dropped with now The Weeknd and ASAP Rocky featured. I'm not going to lie, guys. I have no idea what started all this. I've heard rumors that it's a girl. I've heard rumors that it's like a music deal that went bad. You know, I know that Drake responded. Drogon has some things to say too, obviously. Never mind. I know Drake has responded and, you know, with one project and cleared everybody, but then Rick Ross is in on this too. So I'm not going to lie. I don't know. 20v1, I know.
Rick Ross actually cleared Drake. I just have to correct. Like, Rick Ross's life was insane. Everyone is saying that he kind of like topped all of them so far.
Yeah,
but that's the one thing I will add.
Yeah, I don't, do we know why it started or what's happening? I've been a very bad girlfriend and I've not been keeping up, so oops.
I'm not 100% sure what started it, but I do know that J. Cole has since like retracted the song where he dissed Kendrick. Yeah, where he ditched Kendrick and one other person. It's like 7 minutes long. Like, he took it off of all streaming platforms and said that it was like goofy that he even did that. Drake's been doing so. It's kind of hard to tell whether like what Drake is doing is like manufactured or AI. And that's also stuff that's been going around. But I mean, it's kind of messy. People are saying that it's kind of like giving Housewives this beef, and that it's okay. Like, where's like the OG beef where like people really got into it? Like,
yeah,
we're talking about,
I know,
BBLs.
No, okay, that's funny that they've compared it to Housewives, because I agree with that statement. It feels like we're watching drama on Bravo that we like, we're not really sure how it spiraled, but it's all here, everyone's involved. I'm sure it's like, because now people have pulled songs from like, from All the Dogs to, and then like of like previous disses that he's been doing, and how like he's been doing, how Drake has been doing like subliminal like disses, and I don't know. It's like gone over my head. I can't keep up. I should keep up. I know that Drake is like my territory and I should know this. And I'm sorry, this is a pop culture podcast. I don't have much to tell you guys. But since being aware of like verses from the previous albums that were obviously a diss, it has like blown my mind. Like, I did not know that What Would Pluto Do was a whole diss to Future. I did not, I know that there was one whole song on there that was just like purely a diss to Rihanna. And you know what? Like, I think we need a little tussle in hip hop. Like, it's never been a kumbaya. So I'm here for the music. Like, please bring it. And I'm also like, I don't even know where I was going to go with that. I'll cut that part out. But yeah. So, have you heard about any of this? Have you heard any of the music?
No, I've heard none of it. But I do love when the girls are fighting.
I know.
It's kind of fun. I like when I feel like the cute little rap world is not used to like petty bullshit fight. I mean, I can't speak that. Silly bullshit like diss tracks, I feel like it's not super common. So I think it's cute that they're attempting to do this. So good for them. But I did listen. Future just dropped it. Are you talking about Future's album that he just dropped or whatever?
That we still don't trust you. It was Future and Metro Boomin.
Did somebody just drop an album like 2 days ago?
Maybe. See, I'm telling you guys, I've not been keeping up, and I should be. This is totally my territory. I
a rapper
out of my job.
Oh, I mean, Pharrell dropped last week, like a surprise thing, but he didn't put it on streaming platforms. I don't know who else.
Oh yeah, yeah. We still don't trust you. Oh, I guess I thought it came out a couple days ago. Maybe it didn't.
It came out recently because there's two. We Don't Trust You came out last month, and then We Still Don't Trust You came out within the last week. So you're okay. Yeah, you're correct. So
I listened to
two about that. Yeah, I mean, the whole industry is beefing against Drake. I can imagine that someone at that caliber has some questionable character and has stepped on some toes, regardless of how friendly they used to be in the past. And that's all I really have to say about that. Because maybe next month I'll be back with an update and like a more thorough knowledge about everything. But I know that SZA, because SZA, Travis Scott, and 21 Savage were like mentioned in Drake's response of like them being on his side, and SZA posted a story of like, why am I in this? So
yeah, that's I don't believe that's correct, because yeah, Travis and Ye are on the same side, and Ye is not on Drake's side.
Yeah,
so.
I don't know, guys. Let's see how this unfolds. But let's enjoy the music. I honestly love a good catfight about a BBL and a nose job, because all we do is talk about women with BBLs and nose jobs. So let's put it on the men.
Amen.
But speaking of more music, because Metro Boomin did do a surprise set with Nav at Coachella weekend one, and did of course play Like That, and the whole crowd went crazy. Other fun unexpected surprises from Coachella weekend one. I personally feel like this is the first Coachella in a long time where I feel really excited, and I feel FOMO, and I want to go next year. Lana Del Rey headlined Friday night and came in with the most badass entrance on a motorcycle with her whole dancing team behind her, through the crowd, basking in the love and all of the adoration that she well deserves. And it was a beautiful ethereal performance. All the hits were playing, and I just loved being able to see Lana back on the stage. She looks amazing. Loved the outfits, love her presence, everything about her. Sabrina Carpenter was also not a headliner, but she was like a sub headliner, or like another act on that same Friday. Sabrina Carpenter, I am a new stan. I've been getting into my pop girly era recently, and I loved her whole set, the design of it, the motel, her look was super cute. I love seeing how seamless she is on stage too. Like, she's really good about transforming from like standing and singing, and then like naturally integrating herself back into choreography, and then also like stepping out of the choreography and engaging with the audience. Love seeing the TikTok clips of Barry Cogan. I don't know if I said his name right, but I love seeing the clips of him fangirling and just being googly, bubbly eyed over her. Oh, another special appearance performance that I have to highlight was Dominic Fike at Kevin Abstract. I did kind of had a feeling, just because Kevin Abstract was dropping hints about having a special guest, and I was hopeful that it was Dominic Fike, and then he posted a photo of their song Peach together, and I just knew. And of course, I screamed and shrieked. I streamed it, because now you can stream Coachella on YouTube. And so yeah, seeing Dominic Fike on stage for the second year in a row at a Coachella just did it for me, as it always does. It was a very quick appearance, but it was one that I'm glad I didn't miss. What did you guys catch at Coachella?
So I can see where you really liked it, because a lot of your artists were there. Personally, I feel like there wasn't as much buzz as in the past years, just because Coachella is dying down a bit more. I don't think it'll ever go away, but I think the brands really oversaturated that space for years, mm-hmm. and then it kind of made it less about the music. And so I think this year was interesting just because it wasn't as buzzy and there weren't as many headlines as before. But I will say I did like a lot of the guest appearances. I also feel like I got a bit of a backstage view because my brother was there with a few of his friends, and they had artist passes, so I've like never seen shit like this before. So it was cool getting to see that. He sent me a video of Kesha on stage with Renee Rapp doing TikTok, which was cute and unexpected. Olivia Rodrigo also came on stage with No Doubt. Actually, during this set, my brother texted me saying that No Doubt was like, and Jungle were like the best bands he's ever seen live. So yes, the last band he said that about was Bleachers, and they've now been stumped by these two. That's pretty
okay.
Impressive.
Add that to the list.
Yes, And then last on that list is actually, so Bleachers performed in the Mojave tent. I think they performed a lot of the new songs from their new album. Asked my brother to go to take videos for us. He did not go. However, Taylor and Travis were there, like in the wings. And it was just crazy because I don't know if we've seen her at a Bleacher show before and all this content, but people being like, oh, Taylor supporting her friend at his performance. I'm like, yeah, Taylor at Bleacher.
Damn.
Yeah. Really, but also, she can thank Jack Antonoff for about her whole entire discography. So, I mean, I guess. Like, he has his own projects too, believe it or not. Like, that's kind of crazy.
Like, but it was, like, random to, and I guess cool to see, like, Travis Kelce, like, singing along to Bleachers. This is just, like, a world we didn't see crossing before. So, yeah, it was fun.
Yes. Oh, and Justin Bieber also surprised the audience and appeared with Thames on stage. That,
yes,
my soul left my body when I saw that. I didn't get to see it on YouTube. I saw it on TikTok, and I thought it was an AI clip that was like fucking with me. Or I'm sorry, it was an AI clip messing with me. And no, it was real. It was real. And only Thames would be able to get Justin Bieber on the Coachella stage. So that is iconic. And her performance in general, her set in general, beautiful, ethereal, magical, everything that you think it's going to be. And we love, again, the Justin Bieber appearance.
I'm but, here for it. I think yeah. what I was just going to, we were talking about it a little bit before the podcast, but just quickly touching on it, I think Coachella has, I think, Toby, you're right that the brand saturated it so much, and they made it like everyone has to wear the flashiest outfits, and like they have to be like so, like everyone felt like they were a celebrity. Like the random folk just thought that they were doing something for the community. And it's like, I think people have just maybe shifted away from that. This year, which maybe now, Jasmine, I see where you're at. Like, yeah, it's more of like your music wavelength, but also I feel like maybe it's a little bit more accessible. Not saying that you're not as, like, not saying that people can't shine and be stars and all that kind of stuff, but it's like, it's not so cloudy. If that makes sense. Mm-hmm. But then I also see like, everyone has like all their brand, you know, deals, and like they're all doing these crazy little pop-ups or whatever. But I think that the actual goers, the people that attend it to actually go see the music, have like chilled out a little bit. Like, we're not doing like the glitter on the face. Like, we're not trying to have like the best outfit, trying to be something that we're not for a weekend because it's Coachella. But I think, yeah, Coachella is definitely that.
Yeah.
And maybe agreed, it's better for the people that actually want to go into the music, and it's more authentic and probably maybe getting back to what Coachella was intended for.
Agreed. So I think accessible is a great way to say that, especially because I think that you streaming it on YouTube has brought it back to making it about the music rather than just about the brands and the outfits and the looks. But excited to see what Weekend 2 brings to us, if we'll have any more surprises. Moving into what we've been listening to this month, so like I said, Sabrina Carpenter is on my radar. Espresso is such a cute, fun song. I'm so glad she got to perform that at Coachella and see it, and everyone got to see it live for the first time. It is It's sexy. Paris Hilton is back on my radar after watching Paris in Love. Stars are blind. Mm-hmm. But the feature with Kim Petras is my favorite right now. I've been looping it over and over. It's just a fun, like, early 2000s vibe, just whimsical. And Miss Olivia Rodrigo dropped Guts Spilled and added bonus tracks. My two favorite that I've been looping over and over are Obsessed and Girl I've Always Been. It's the lyrics for me. Obsessed was me in my unhealthy stage when it came to my exes. But yeah, Toby, what have you been listening to this month?
Okay, I'm gonna try and keep it really quick. One new artist underscores a new to me, but not really new. Hyper Poppy, love Locals and Secondhand Embarrassment. Secondhand Embarrassment is so clever, so fun. I think this girl is fabulous. Definitely give her a listen. Small Pools, they dropped this EP recently, and my favorite song off of it is Swayze. Definitely recommend listening to it. Super cute indie pop love bop. Charlie dropped two songs off of Brat that she performed at Boiler Room in New York last month, Club Classics and Back to Back. I'm so excited for this album. And then last but not least, of course, Forget About Us by Perry. What about you, Sophie?
I listened to the two future songs. They're okay, whatever, not my genre. They were sent to me by my partner. Great. The one time that I actually listened to music outside of lo-fi, I listened to Young the Giant with Mind Over Matter album, which is just God spoke through them. It is just, it's so good, and it's always going to be a delight listening to it. So I had to go to the Apple Store, and I was like, oh, I'm driving, so I might as well listen to music. And so I listened to it, and it's like, it literally gives me such yellow, warm vibes. It's the best album, top five of all time.
Yay. Well, listen again. I love it. I love that you got to listen to music this month again. So, but that is all we have for you guys in the month of April. We are so excited for next month. Make sure to stay tuned. I'm sure it'll be a really exciting episode. Toby will be in New York. Sophie will be graduated. It's a whole thing. But until then, like, subscribe, comment, review, follow us on all of our social media. You know where our handles are. And as always, stream Does Strength Need a Rebrand on YouTube or TED.com, whatever platform you prefer. Bye, guys.
Bye.
I'm Sophie.
I'm Jasmine.
And I'm Toby. And you've been listening to
The Weekly Bay-Kay.